1 John chapter 2 as we go through the book of 1 John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Now, when we reflect in the Old Testament is a picture and prophecies of what Jesus Christ would do ultimately when he would come, and then it speaks about what will happen in the end times and what happens to us. We're not walking in the dark. It's not something that God has not revealed to his people. He has revealed it, and he's shown us. He's shown us things that have happened in the past, things that are happening now, and things that will happen in the future. When we look at parallels in Scripture, specifically Joseph is called in a dream by God, and he shares it with his brothers, and his brothers reject him. Well, Jesus was rejected by his brothers as well. They were rejected by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. Well, Jesus was sold with 30 pieces of silver. He was imprisoned. Jesus was imprisoned in hell for 3 days. Joseph was set free to sit at the right hand of Pharaoh. Jesus rose again on the third day and is seated at the right hand of God. His brothers denied him. They didn't recognize him. If you're familiar with the story of Joseph, if not, it's in Genesis. His brothers came because there was going to be a famine. Joseph is seated at the right hand of Pharaoh. His brothers didn't recognize him until the third time that they came back. What happened? Joseph revealed himself as who he was, and they saw, their eyes were opened. Jesus' brethren rejected him when he came. He rose on the third day. Jesus will reveal himself to the nation of Israel. This is the third time the nation has entered the land. The first time was with Joshua. Then they were taken into captivity, and after Babylon, they came back into the land. And in our time, 1948, they came back into the nation. This is the third time. And so when we look at the parallel of Joseph's life, we see Jesus, a type of, a picture of what would happen. When Joseph revealed himself in the palace, he sent out all the Gentiles before he showed his brethren who he was. Jesus is going to rapture the church, the Gentile church, before he reveals himself to the nation of Israel. We should know this, folks. We need to know the bigger picture. It's not about us living here and having a happy life and a happy anything. It's worshiping God, serving him. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has called each one of us to be a part of his plan to redeem the church. And that third time, Joseph revealed himself and his brothers knelt down before him. Jesus will reveal himself to the nation of Israel, and they will kneel down before him, and he will show them his hands, and they will recognize him as the Messiah. This is coming. In the meantime, what do we do? What does our lives look like as Christians? If it's all about being happy, then hey, let's get saved and have a funeral the next day. Let's get out of here. Why hang around, right? If it's just about salvation, then let's go. But it's not. Scripture tells us to go. Jesus himself says, go now and make disciples, make followers of me. I have empowered you with my Spirit, and when my Spirit comes upon you, you'll have this dunamis, dynamite power to be my witness. God has put people in our sphere of influence that we're supposed to speak about the goodness of God. Sometimes we have the opportunity to say it verbally. Other times in our actions, how we serve. I gave the example a while back. I worked with this man in my BC days, before Christ days. He was a deputy sheriff. I was on the midnight shift with him, and it was something about this guy. He was always calm, cool, and collective. He was about 20 years old, older than me. I think I was 24 when I went on the road, and so he was about 20 years older than me. Something about this guy. I would always get upset and want to do something, and he was just so calm, and I never knew why. He never said a thing about him being a believer or about Jesus Christ around me. Never said a word. But after I got saved, now I wasn't working with him anymore, I looked back and said, this is a man that walked with God. He had that peace that transcends all understanding to guide his heart and his mind through Christ Jesus in spite of the circumstances. He never said a word to me, but I know now that he was walking with the Lord. And just by his example, he glorifies the Father. And so listen, God has everything worked out. Don't be fooled by what the world says. You see, the world is changing around us. Nothing's new under the sun. It just changes its appearance. It changes its techniques, right? There was a time that you can go buy a magazine and look at pornography on a magazine. Now you can do it right out of your phone. There was a time where you can do all kinds of things and no one would know, or you had to go out and do things. Now it's even easier to sin, right? Satan makes it convenient. Nothing new under the sun. Adultery happened back then, it happens today. Lust happened back then, it happens today. Covetousness, lies and stealing, they happened back then, they happen today. They just disguise themselves. So there's nothing new. And God has revealed, listen, his plan, his purpose, but also he has revealed is Satan's weapons, his weapons of warfare. And as we understand that, as we become wise and mature in the Spirit of God, then we begin to see things around us. Ah, now I know. And here in the book of John, 1 John chapter 2, John begins to warn us of the things that may trap us or cause us to fall. He says where we left off last week in verse 15 and 16, we only got to two verses. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, this is a pretty strong statement. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for he will either will hold to one or despise the other, or he will love one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Now, John defines for us what he's meaning by the world. In verse 16, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So now he gives us a picture of what he's talking about. He's not talking about nature and the things that are created, but the worldly demonic system. We do not fight against material things, but against spiritual things, principalities in the heavenly places. So now we understand there's a spiritual battle going on, and we can see this worldly system controlled by Satan. Remember, when Satan was cast down, he was cast down to the earth. Man was given the calling to have dominion and to rule, but when man sinned, he was separated from God. Forever. He says, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And what is the deception of Satan? What does he want us to know? And we're not going to talk too much about him. We're going to talk about how much great God is, right? But here's his plan. Here's his method. To doubt, did God really say? And to deny, you shall surely not die. That's Satan's plan, right? To question the word of God, is it true? Did he really say that, or is he just kidding around? Did God really mean this? And then to doubt what he says, that he who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son does not have life. Do you believe this? He asked Peter that. Do you believe? And even those that doubt, he knocks on their heart again. Thomas doubted. What's interesting about Thomas is Jesus didn't go and chase Thomas. Oh, I got to go find out where he is and show him, right? It's when Thomas showed up at the prayer meeting, when he showed up where God was, remember where two or more are gathered, I am there in the midst. When he came to the house of the Lord, God revealed himself. He says, put your fingers in my hands and your hands in my side and stop doubting and believe. How many more times does God have to prove to you that he's real? You don't have to answer to me. You have to answer to yourself. Because time and time again, over and over again, he begins to reveal how good he is in our life, how much he cares for us. Now, the immature, remember your little kid? you want a lollipop, and it was dinner time, and your mother would say, I'm just using this as an illustration, you know, you're going to spoil your appetite, you can't have that. And you would say, oh, you don't love me. I was the only one that said that? You don't love me. Sometimes we feel that about God. Oh, you don't love me because you didn't give me what I want. God knows better. He knows all. And he cares for us. So the immature would look at a situation in life and say, oh, is God real? You know, is he who he says he was? Or, listen, can we look back and say, wait a minute, there's a bigger plan, there's a bigger purpose. I've told this story where the doctor forgot about me in the hospital. Isn't that funny? I was on IVs in the hospital, and I had two doctors caring for me. And one doctor thought the other one was taking care of me, and the other doctor thought the other one was taking care of me. Now, I've never heard of that before in my life, but that's what happened. So 5 days later, the one doctor gets me on the phone through the nurse. And he says, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought the other guy was taking care of you. You know, what are you doing right now? I said, well, I got an IV in my arm for a week, probably overdosed on antibiotics. He says, all right, I'll let you out tomorrow. So tomorrow comes, and they come in, they take out the IVs, and I'm getting dressed. As I'm putting my sneakers on, the nurse walks in, and she says, hey, I hear you're a pastor. There's a guy dying 2 doors over from you from cancer. Will you go talk with him? So I go over there, and the kid weighed about, you know, 80, 90 pounds. He's in the shower. Hot water was the only relief he had from his pain. The whole room was filled with condensation. The nurses were in there wiping the walls because of the hot water was just steaming up the room. And so, hey, how you doing? I heard what's going on. I come to pray for you. And I began to talk with him, and he was a believer. And so I just was there to encourage him. And so I said the sinner's prayer again with him and just encouraged him. He'll be in the presence of Almighty God. Everything that we're hoping for and praying for now, he's going to see real soon. And when I turned around, there was like 7 nurses behind me, and all of them were crying. Now, the immature would say, and I'm not tooting my own horn, I'm using this as an illustration. The immature would get mad at the doctors. Oh, they were probably out playing golf. That's what they do, right? And be upset. They forgot about me. How could this be? They're making all this money. I can't believe this. However, the Holy Spirit revealed the bigger picture. They kept me there. Now, why? They could have used anybody. God could have used anybody else. But in this situation, I can see the whole thing unfolding because this is what happened. Wow, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to glorify you, to encourage this young man. He's in the presence of the Lord right now. So when we look back in things that happen in our life, the immature would say, oh, this is crazy. There, you know, is God real? And doubt. Because that's Satan's plan, to cause us to doubt, right? Doubt and deny. Did God really say, and you shall surely not die? But if we hold fast to truth, the truth of Scripture, the truth of God, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says, no one gets to the Father but through me. You cannot get there from any other religious system. It is only a relationship with Jesus Christ, belief by faith in him, that we can be in the presence of the Father. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so when we hold fast to the promises of God, what are the promises of God? That all things will work for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. That's not some things, that's all things. And we may not see that all things on this side of eternity. It might not be until God calls us home. We all have someone we're praying for in our life, in our family or friends. Oh, Lord, you got to get them saved. God's in total control. Just pray. Don't die for him. God didn't ask you to die for him. He already died for him, right? Trust in the Lord. You might not see that here while you're on earth. It might be at a later time, or he may reveal it to you now. But here's what we do know. God is sovereign. He is in total control. And instead of doubting him and worrying about things, I just need to keep my eyes on him, and he'll begin to reveal, oh, now I understand. You see, an infant can't understand. A young boy doesn't understand. He doesn't have experience. Remember when you were a teenager, you knew everything, right? Parents didn't know anything, and you knew it all until you get older and you're paying bills. I remember my son one time says, He wanted to do something. I don't remember what it was. And I said, listen, we don't have the money for that. He's like, well, just go to the bank. Because his perception was, you go to the bank, you get money. That's all he knew. He didn't know the inside scoop of that is you got to put money in the bank first to get it out, right? And so an immature person doesn't understand. But as we mature, how do we mature? Faith grows. Faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. But it's not, we don't just stay there by hearing. Now we need to act upon the word of God. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves, right? And so when God says this, we're to respond to that. And as he reveals it to us, we have no excuse then. Now, some of us like to focus on legalism, all the things that we cannot do. Do you look at the freedom of how free we are in Christ? Adam and Eve said, you can eat of all these trees, do anything you want, just don't eat of this one. You can eat of all the trees of the garden, have at it. He never said how much they could eat of the fruit. Go, you're free, but don't eat this one. And what did they do? They went right to that one. And so often we're worried about the one thing that God says we can't do instead of all the freedom and the things that we have in Christ, this peaceful walk, this joy in the midst of the storm. He doesn't say that we will not go through storms. Matter of fact, he says we will go through storms. Some people in here equate everything to Satan. God may use Satan's hand to fulfill his purpose. We see that all through Scripture in the Old Testament. God raising up leaders and dropping them down. All why things are not falling apart, they're falling in place. God. So when Jesus told the disciples to go unto all the earth, when he gave that great commission, right? They didn't go. What caused them to go? Persecution. Where did that come from? That came from the enemy, persecuting the Christians. So when persecution came upon the disciples, then they went out and accomplished God's will. And so God is sovereign. Now we might not like, you know, there's an illustration that you have to crush a grape before you can make wine. And God wants to crush us of ourself. That's why he says to die to self daily. Sometimes we don't like the hands that he uses to crush us. And we need to be surrendered daily to God so that no matter what happens in our life, that trust will never be broken. And I'll begin to understand and I'll begin to accept and know that God's in control. I don't know the whole picture. And so John has defined what the worldly system looks like. Now, if you see what's happening in society today, it is amazing if you have spiritual eyes. If you're a believer in Christ, he's given you the ability to discern. And if we get to the rest of this chapter today, we'll see that. There was a time, if you were dishonest, you were an outcast. If you weren't a man of character, nobody wanted anything to do with you. That's the norm today. There's two parts to a lie. The liar and the one who believes or accepts the lie. So you ever been around a liar? I've been around a lot of them. And once you start calling them on their lies, they want nothing to do with you. They'll disappear. Why? Because they won't continue this foolishness of you believing these lies. Once you say, no, you're lying. Oh, no, I'm not. They'll defend themselves, but they'll disappear in your life. They come in and out of the church all the time. Don't accept this way of life in society today. There was a time where our politicians would want to come into the church and tell you who they are, and they want your vote. Today, they want nothing to do with you. Why? Because you're going to hold them to a higher standard. We're allowing this to happen in our society. It is the worldly system. And so we'll see religious men with good intentions stand up before a news broadcast and say the Islamic Quran is a religion of peace. It is not. If you haven't studied it or read it, you don't know any better. So most people will go along with that. Yes, he's in a position of authority. He said it, and so we believe it. And yet there was a group of Bereans in the book of Acts that when Paul spoke, they went and checked out. Is this true? And I hope you are too as well. That not just because we've been given a platform that everything we say is true, it better be, but that's not always the case. So hold me in check. Read the scriptures. So society today is telling you how you should believe. It's telling the churches what they should do because society has changed. Everybody should do what they want and the religion should change with it. And scripture says in the end times, because that's what we've been talking about, there'll be the apostasy of the faith, the turning away of the faith, the walking away to not believing the truth, but we'll raise up men that'll tickle our ears, make us be happy about everything we hear. And you're our guy. And whatever you say, man, that's it. They won't stand for truth. And so this is why we see the churches splitting, falling apart. And today's not the day, but you wouldn't believe what's going on in denominations today. It is amazing to see. The mature would be upset and worried, the immature would be upset and worried. The mature would say, all right, Lord, you're in total control. You've already told us this. You've already warned us this. There's nothing new under the sun. We know what's coming. The president is not the answer to America. Jesus is the answer to America. There's a world system. It's evil. It is anti-Christ. Who's running the world system? Demonic forces, Satan. Who's allowed it? God's allowed it. They've been cast. We've sinned. Here you go. Right? God's sovereign in total control. He is here to save us, to set us apart, to sanctify us, and to use us to draw other people to Him. To draw other people to Him. Now, today we're living in a day and an age in which Satan continues attacking in these areas. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24, verses 12 through 37. He says in verse 37, evil days shall wax worse and worse. Who wants to hear that on a Sunday morning? Right? We want to hear happy things. Well, there are happy things in Christ. He's just warning us about what is going to happen. Okay? We're not to fret. We're to be joyful in our hearts. It's not going to affect us ultimately in the end, right? We have a task. We have a plan and a purpose. Evil days shall wax worse and worse. And because of the iniquity of the earth will abound, and the love of many will wax cold. Listen, we have people on top of rooftops shooting police. We've seen that. And I'm not a doomsday pastor. We're a scripture reading church and a scripture studying in church. So we need to know this. Why are these things happening around us today? The end times are here. I've just given you parallels about Joseph in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. That's pretty clear, wouldn't you agree? The third time, the nation, it's a nation now. If you talked about that thousands of years ago, who Israel, nation, they're not even a people. Who are they? But it's happened in our lifetime. So this whole worldly system is what we call in police work, circling the drain. It's going down the tubes. But we're not to worry. Because it all ends up good for us. The iniquity of the earth is abounding as it was in the days of Noah. Again, we're in Matthew chapter 24. You don't have to turn there. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, so it's explaining us now because there's all kinds of commentaries on what was happening during those days. Here's what was happening. They were eating and drinking and being merry and giving to marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark. Hey, don't worry about this. They've been saying Jesus is going to come for so many years, 2,000 years. But Jesus himself says, look at the signs. Beware. You fishermen, you have signs that you look at. Pink sky morning, sailor's warning. Pink sky night, sailor's delight. You look at the signs in the skies and you determine times and seasons. He's speaking spiritually as well. Things are happening around us. In our lifetime, the nation of Israel became a nation. Look what's happening in the Middle East. ISIS has captured a significant, unbelievable part of the Middle East. What should we do? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for their salvation. And we continue teaching the truth. Teaching the truth. So I've shared with you before, my wife and I were on the Costa Concordia ship that sunk. We weren't on it when it sunk. We were on it 2 years. We were on it 2 years before it sunk. And it was a difficult ship to navigate. The floor, if you've been on cruises before, some of them are really easy. You know, everything's on this floor. You go one down for everything. This one, you had to take an elevator to get this floor and a door. I mean, it was hard to navigate the ship, to get places on the ship. It wasn't that old, but hard to navigate. When the Costa Concordia was sinking, there were crew members that were saying, no, don't worry about it. Go back to your rooms. Go back to your staterooms. Everything's going to be okay. And there were other staff, crew members that were saying, no, get to the fifth floor. That's where the lifeboats are. And that's who we should be. Get to the fifth floor. That's where the lifeboats are. Forget about this worldly system and all the things that you're pursuing. Get to Jesus. Believe in Him. Because the ship is sinking. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. And so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus Himself said this. Now, if John said it, it would be just as valid, right? Because he's being moved by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus tells us in the end times, things are going to wax worse and worse. The iniquity of the earth will abound and the love of many will wax cold. Satan has opened the floodgates of lust, materialism, in so many different ways. And these things, listen, are designed to inflame the passions, to start your mind thinking the ways of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Look at the commercials. Creating this desire for this fleshly fulfillment that is outside the confines of God has established for us. One of the first examples of this idea of the world in the Bible helps us to understand this point. In Genesis chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, it speaks of the human society, united rebellion against God at the Tower of Babel. Hey, we're going to make our own way to the kingdom. The Tower of Babel, a tower that was anti-God, led by humanity. This leader's name was Nimrod. Smith says that there was organized rebellion against God in disobeying the command to disperse over the whole earth. And there was direct distrust of God's word and the promise in building what was probably a water-safe tower. So they thought that was it. The world story of the Tower of Babel also shows us the fundamental fact about the world system, the world's progress, because they built the largest tower. Hey, we're going to make it happen. We can do this. The world's progress, technology, government, the government organizations, hey, we don't need God. We can heal people, right? We have doctors that do amazing things. My father had open heart surgery, one of the few back in the early 70s. You had a 50% chance of surviving. Today, it's like pulling a tooth. We don't need God. We got it all together, right? This is what man did at the Tower of Babel. Verse 17, back in 1 John chapter 2, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. This is the good news of the gospel. It's not good news until you know the bad news. The bad news is that the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. The good news is Jesus paid that penalty for you so that you could have eternal life. And so he explains this about the worldly system, what we're up against. And then he says here at the end of verse 17, but he who does the will of God abides forever. What is the will of God? That we believe in His Son. That is the will of God. That we believe in the Son that He has sent for the forgiveness of sins. And so when Jesus went to the cross, He paid that ultimate penalty for our sins so that whoever would believe in Him would have eternal life.